Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show.
Hi, my name's Rob Goddard. I'm a serial entrepreneur, and today I'm delighted to welcome Andrea Pennington, Dr. Andrea Pennington, who we've known each other for quite a few years, haven't we, Andrea?
Yeah.
And you are the owner and chief executive of a company called Innate Vitality. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. You're also a qualified medical doctor and acupuncturist, and you specialize in burnout, something I've had personal experience of myself. So it would be very helpful for people watching this, who may be going through highly stressful times and not feeling that they're able to cope, perhaps to leave something of value with you in this video. So, Andrea, why don't you give us a helicopter view of this whole area of burnout?
Sure. I think, it's pretty obvious to most people that the number of people who are struggling with stress-related illness has totally skyrocketed since 2020. When you look at overwork, isolation, financial uncertainty, all of that poses a great ongoing threat to our mental health. And people, as you said, are struggling to cope. So the rates of alcohol and substance abuse has increased. But unfortunately, when people are not coping well, the rates of domestic violence and even suicide have increased. So what we're seeing is that the level of stress that has hit us since the start of the pandemic has really created the perfect storm for burnout. And burnout, as you know, is a condition of physical fatigue, emotional exhaustion, and diminished efficacy, where we feel like we're just not as, you know, powerful as we once were in our work. And that can lead to a whole host of long-term health problems and even disability. But what most people are surprised to hear is that, you know, I'm an American, you're from the UK. If we looked at just the US and UK, there are 110 million men and women in burnout right now.
Wow.
It's a lot. It's a huge number. And Deloitte recently did a survey, and they found that 77% of professionals have experienced burnout. 84% of millennials have experienced burnout. And for people who have burned out once, 51% burned out again.
Wow.
So this is actually a relapsing condition. And as I mentioned, you know, the consequences are far reaching. We know that it negatively impacts our quality of work. And there was a survey by Mental Health America that found that 83% of people who were in burnout, they said that it negatively impacted their relationships, both at work and at home. And employees are three times more likely to report poor mental health now than before the pandemic started. So this is a problem that, you know, millions of people are dealing with. And as you've heard me say in our conversations before, it's tricky because the general public doesn't know the difference between stress and burnout. So I said, burnout is, you know, emotional exhaustion, physical fatigue, and decreased efficacy. But there are a whole host of like symptoms, and not everybody's burnout is the same. So what would you say is the difference between stress and burnout?
I think it's the degree. It's a really good distinction because stress can be very helpful.
Indeed.
I mean, it's a natural response, isn't it, in the human psyche? Well, you know far more than I would. But stress is what keeps bridges up. So in the right quantity, and that will vary from one person to another, stress can be a healthy thing. It's the overdose, the degree to which then it spills over.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So normally stress is just our own reaction to pressure. So like your example of the bridge, whether that's pressure coming from a boss to get something done quickly or your kids or your spouse, it is that sense of pressure. Well, if we become overreactive and irritable, that sounds like stress. If we start to become disengaged and numb, that's when you've gone into burnout. When you're stressed, you tend to be worried and anxious. You tend to be trying to fix things. Whereas in burnout, you start to become a little apathetic, cynical, and even unmotivated.
You're right. And it's helpful because I know from my own experiences, when you feel burnt out, you feel out of control.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got the right degree of stress, you can actually take action and take the action you need to. It's a healthy thing. But when you feel out of control, that's a different dynamic, I suppose.
Absolutely. And if you've also been trying to control and you've just spun yourself up, you might be edgy and you're wired, but also tired. Whereas by the time that gets to burnout, you start to experience brain fog, reduced cognitive function. So those are other key distinctions. And for a lot of people, their mind is racing when they're stressed.
Yes.
Whereas when you're burnt out, it's like it's so foggy that your mind isn't even doing the racing anymore.
From your own experience, both medically and working with people, is it the duration of the stress as well that can lead to burnout?
Absolutely. Our bodies can sort of, and our brains can tolerate a few weeks, even a few months of stress. But now, you know, that this pandemic is going on a year for most people, now we're going to see these burnout rates increase even more because the body needs time to recover. The brain needs time to replenish all of those neurochemicals that help us fight or flee. And so if you are finding yourself overworking, taking on more stressors for a longer period of time, that increases your risk of developing burnout. And the last little distinction I want to say between stress and burnout is around sleep. So when you're just under stress and pressure, you tend to have insomnia. Either you can't get to sleep or you wake up too early because your mind is going. Whereas by the time you've gotten all the way to burnout, you just want to sleep all the time. But when you wake up, you don't feel refreshed. That's when you know that the brain has been dramatically.
So when I'm only getting 3 hours of sleep because I've got something else on my mind and I have to go to the laptop at 3:30 in the morning, is that healthy, doctor?
You know the answer to that. But a lot of us do it. I mean, when we're under stress and pressure, we do it. But it's what's really challenging right now is, you know, we talked about the overwork. Well, what has happened since the pandemic? And there, you know, so many studies have come out in the last 3 months that are showing that employees who didn't lose their jobs, they feel this incredible pressure to meet up to the demands. And so they're staying logged on. So to your comment about waking up at 3 a.m, there was one big company that said, we can see now that people are answering emails in the middle of the night. They're checking. They won't even take the time off that they're given. And so that's something that we've got these new terms coming out. E-presenteeism. So you've heard of absenteeism. We know that burnout causes people to take off from work, sick leave. But now there's something called e-presenteeism. People are feeling the pressure to be present. So they're staying online, they're checking in, they're carrying their device with them everywhere. They're no longer unplugging. So these lines between work life and home life are so blurred that is contributing to burnout.
I get part of the picture could be with redundancies because of what's been happening with global pandemic and companies have been faltering, a lot of them, and laying off staff. For the remaining staff, there could be with some of them the feeling, the need to be able to protect their jobs, so they throw more hours at it.
Yes. And those people are going to be more likely to burn out because of some of the psychological risk factors that people aren't aware of. So it's not just overwork. There's an interesting thing. You might be able to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and be fine. Whereas it might affect me differently. And here's a key distinction. There are risk factors associated with burnout that go beyond just how many hours you work. There are psychological profiles, literally. There are mental and emotional patterns that predict whether you will burn out or not. So one of them being a type A personality, that aggressive go-getter, people who tend to be a little perfectionistic. If you look at people in the caring professions, that's healthcare, those are teachers, other public servants, firefighters, police people, people who have this emotional tendency to take on more, to not say no as much as they should, to not have very clear boundaries, or people who tend to seek external validation. Those kind of people have a greater likelihood of burning out. And so if you happen to have not lost your job and you already have those traits in the background, yes, you're going to feel even more invested. And unfortunately, you're going to have a greater risk of burning out.
One of the reasons why I think this is such an important message for business owners, because that's the community I work within, is that when you start a business, many of us, most of us, is my experience, believe that we have to work 24/7 because we're an owner manager.
Yeah.
And it's a myth. But it's in our head. And one of the reasons why businesses, certainly in the UK, startups, 70% of startups in the UK never see their fifth birthday. Never. Mm. They've gone. And all sorts of reasons. But one of the key factors is the business owner has given up because they are the business.
Yeah.
And that's either physically or emotionally, they've had enough of working 24/7. There's no let up. They don't take holidays.
Yeah.
They don't give them themselves the permission to rest. And so it has a real resonance what you're doing in the business community, that we need to give ourselves rest periods and not be working around the clock. And I know from personal experience, if you work around the clock, you become less efficient.
Yeah.
And in recent years, where I've tried to learn my lessons, I've found out that the less I worked and the more I wasn't in the office, the company did better. There might be a few reasons why that was the case, but I think you're a better business owner, or you're more valuable rather to the company if you've got a more balanced lifestyle, rather than being frenetic and always working. It's an unhealthy environment in a business, is my view.
And it's not sustainable. You just can't do it. No. You can't do 70, 80 hours consistently for the duration. So if you really want to have a sustainable company, then you've got to look, you give your employees health insurance, or maybe in your country it comes, but we have to be the ones that manage our own health and our own well-being. And
so as business owners, let's set the example, which is to have a healthy environment where there is rest and there is play.
Exactly.
And there's work.
Exactly.
In a nice balance, healthy balance. So what's the solution?
Well, here's the challenge. Right now, there's not really one centralized place for support, nor is there a recommended treatment protocol for recovering from burnout unless you get hospitalized. So you know this about my work. I started off in helping with drug and alcohol recovery.
Yeah.
And so working in treatment centers and hospitals, you see people who are truly burnt out, like using substances has literally fried them. Mm. What is actually needed to recover, the gold standard would be hospitalization, but that's not what's happening. People are just taking time off, and that's insufficient. Because if you happen to come from a toxic workplace, if you don't change the workplace, it doesn't matter if you give me a month off or 6 months off. If I go back there, especially if I have any of those psychological traits, I'm more likely to burn out.
You're not dealing with the root cause. It's just trying to cope with the symptoms as they emerge. But and then it's quite a way down the path, isn't it, if someone's hospitalized?
Exactly. And so what would a person do? If they're feeling completely exhausted, they would go to their primary care physician. But the challenge there is most primary care docs are not diagnosing burnout. They might say, oh, you're just stressed, and give you time off. Because it's only been in the last couple of years that the World Health Organization included burnout as an official disease.
Really?
But they only classify it as a workplace phenomenon. So if you happen to be a caregiver, because we know caregivers burn out, if you're caring for elderly Indeed. Parents or you know, sick children or special needs children, they have a high rate of burnout. But if you went to your doctor, you wouldn't be diagnosed, which means you won't get the right treatment. And if you happen to realize you are in burnout, the chances of you finding a credible physician that could treat burnout right now, because the demand is so high with, you know, lockdown and telehealth, it's a real challenge. So ultimately what we need is, well, you know what I'm up to in the world. I'm trying to help bring the solution to the world by leveraging media and the internet.
Yeah, I mean, presumably there's only so far a physician can go, which is, and if you push them, is to prescribe some form of medication, tranquilizers or whatever. But again, it's just masking the symptoms, isn't it? It's not dealing with the root cause, which is where you're heading.
Yeah, and ultimately, sure, if you needed to be prescribed something, there's no shame in that. However, we actually know that antidepressants are not going to be a long-term fix for you. And, you know, the benzodiazepines, the things that people would take for anxiety or to help them sleep, they have so many negative side effects, including suicidality, that they're not a fix for us either.
Yeah.
So we really do need a holistic treatment approach so that we can prevent relapse and we can prevent all of the long-term disability that comes from burnout as well.
Mm. Well, you know, in my own journey years ago, it was 10 years ago, I went through that. And my ultimate issue is I'm a workaholic. And if you speak with Christina, my other half, my fiance, she would still say I'm on the workaholic side of the middle. Mm-hmm. But when you're a business, particularly if you're a business owner, but not exclusively to being a business owner, if you just love work and you'll throw the hours at it, 70, 80, 90 hours a week, that can be unhealthy. And having no gaps, suddenly your whole world revolves around that one thing. Yeah. And I certainly know of my situation where my world collapsed and went into depression. I was on prescribed drugs. I came off of them and self-medicated with alcohol. And that takes you down a different path, because all you want is to have that momentary for a few hours of just chilling.
Yeah.
Even if you just get a few hours, rather than the stress, you're right, the anxiety, the sleepless nights, and that sense of feeling that you can't do anything about it, that somehow life is controlling you rather than you controlling life.
That's it, exactly. And it manifests for people differently. And in your case, that depression and that such sort of unmanageableness, you just wanted to numb out. Unfortunately, a lot of people will go down that path and end up suicidal. Other people turn to rage, and that's where we see domestic violence increasing. And it's a tricky deal, because if there is no good diagnostics out there and there's not adequate treatment, well, what are people left to do?
Yeah.
Well, if you look right now, for example, with your typical workplace wellness, they're offering, you know, meditation apps and yoga, and, you know, before COVID, it was, you could even bring a pet to work, you know, pet therapy, but that alone is insufficient because it's not getting down to the root cause. And so if you were diagnosed with burnout now, or you self-diagnosed looking on the internet, you might try, you know, going to yoga online. You might think that a vacation would do it for you, but it's not enough. We actually need to detox the body and the brain, unlearn some of that emotional and behavioral programming that got you there in the first place, and then reintegrate into work using the good tools of, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy. So you really need this holistic approach. And that's why I'm so excited to be working on my company, Innate Vitality, and bringing a whole new layer into health technology.
So what is the approach of Innate Vitality that could provide that solution?
Well, I would love to share a slide with you. Can I do that?
Yeah.
So Innate Vitality is a health and wellness media platform powered by artificial intelligence that empowers people to recover from stress and burnout. And it all revolves around a comprehensive assessment and a recovery program so that people are really avoiding relapse. It puts everything all together in one place. It's vetted by medical professionals and validated by research. So we're bringing together the three essential keys to burnout recovery, and that's stress physiology, cognitive behavioral therapy, and mindfulness-based stress reduction. So if we look at our proprietary analytical system, which is, you know, developed based on 20 years of experience, our users take a burnout assessment that gathers 80 physical and psychological data points. It's available 24/7, it's scalable, and it's instantly accessed. It gives them a comprehensive report that points to where they should be focused for their recovery, because my recovery might be different than yours. And then we have this technology integration. So our artificial intelligence programs integrate with wearable tech. So things like the Aura Ring or the Fitbit or the Apple Watch. That allows us to monitor a person's physiology with real-time feedback as they're going through one of our programs. And then we add in our relapse prevention program, all clinically proven, you know, in my own practice. We're able to help people connect with coaches, consultants, and the community so that they're actually getting what they need to prevent relapse in the first place. And, you know, the studies show that if you had a comprehensive solution like this, including in workplace wellness programs, the ROI can be as high as 5 to 1.
Wow.
And so that's what we're up to. We are looking to expand. We're raising money right now in a seed round to expand our MVP, build out the assessment, and really tweak the AI-delivered program.
It resonates so much with me as a recovering workaholic. Because when I got ill, really the state wasn't there for me.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting for a telephone call from two charities that do counseling of people who are depressed. Still waiting, 12 years down the line.
Yeah.
I did go to a hypnotherapist. Who did cognitive behavioral therapy that you've just mentioned. But it's really hard when someone says to you, clear your mind. I couldn't.
Yeah.
So this sort of support and there's a process involved is remarkable. And it's something that I wish had been in place when I went through my journey back all those years, which is why I'm fully behind it. Yeah. And so you're going through the investment funding round. That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a thrill a minute. But you know what? I really am committed, Rob, because as you say, there are people out there that are suffering and they don't see any solution. And even the people who are brave enough to ask for help, they're not getting the right treatment. So if we can bring it together in a way that's fun, I mean, it's engaging. Who doesn't like a little bit of tech that actually helps you monitor and manage yourself so that you're not becoming dependent on a substance or a person? You're learning how to master your own mind and body, and that's what motivates me.
Yeah. Right, I can tell, and I'm sure there's people watching this would love to come in alongside and support you in what you're doing, because it affects all of us. Even if we don't suffer from burnout, we might be part of a family where someone is suffering, or there are people suffering, people closest to us, the people that we love. And so they may be able to benefit from what you've developed and what your plans are going forward. So it touches all of us, doesn't it? Even if we as individuals don't experience that particular condition.
Yeah, there's pretty much nobody on the planet that isn't touched by it. And just as I shared those statistics, 110 million men and women in the US and UK are in burnout right now.
Yeah.
So there's absolutely somebody in your family or in your entourage who's affected.
And there will undoubtedly be more people, far more people than that haven't recognized and become self-aware of what their situation is. So presumably you've got an investor pitch deck. So how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in having a chat with you, Andrea?
Well, you can connect with me on LinkedIn or on social media. Just visit innatevitality.com. That's innatevitality.com. And I'm happy to connect with you and share, you know, our pitch deck and have a conversation about it.
And just to round things off, there'll be people no doubt watching this that are very much in the situation that you've described. Have you got a couple of top tips that would just help them where they're at the moment?
Absolutely. The first thing you could do is visit innatevitality.com and you can take our burnout assessment. This is the free version. It doesn't collect 80 different points on you, but it can help you identify whether you really are moving towards burnout, and we'll give you some of our top tips. I think the number one thing to think of right now, even before you see a professional or get into a program, is to give yourself a break. Because a lot of the people who are in burnout have these high stakes for our performance. And the best thing you can do is actually give yourself permission to relax. I have heard this over the last two decades, that for people who got like sick leave, they were forced to go away from work. That idea of just laying on the couch to recover is the hardest thing to get by psychologically. And so I would say, give yourself permission so that your body and your brain can actually come down off of that adrenaline and stress. You can build back up the neurotransmitters and the hormones that you need for full recovery.
That's brilliant advice. I know with personal trainers in the gym, they say you shouldn't be exercising every day.
Right.
You should be giving your body rest, because then you end up with an injury if you overtrain.
Yep. Been there, done that.
So look, it's been wonderful catching up with you, and thank you so much for what you're doing with the Innate Vitality, Andrea. I think it's a wonderful thing that you do, not only for the two countries that we represent, or three, because you live in France.
That's right.
but this is a global phenomenon. So I'm delighted to be able to support it and endorse it and take it forward for you.
Thank you, Rob. I so appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's innatevitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.